family. Thank you, guys. Appreciate that very much. We are going to dismiss, I think, the children. Excuse me. And they will be coming back at about 10 till, quarter till to 10 till. And they'll finish up the morning with us. Looking to see if I have any water here. 2 Corinthians chapter 8. 2 Corinthians chapter 8. I'm tempted to hand out this handout right now, but everybody will be looking at it while I'm talking. So I'm going to wait for just a few minutes, Brother Dave, and if you and Brother Chuck could hand these out in a little bit here, I'll let you know. 2 Corinthians chapter 8. We have an interesting passage of Scripture here. I mentioned that one of the things that we do is the faith promise giving. And I want you to see the context of 2 Corinthians chapter 8 and 9 really seems to be speaking about that. If you notice, the Bible tells us here in chapter 8, moreover, verse 1, brethren, we do you to wit. Or in other words, we want you to know of the grace of God bestowed on the churches of Macedonia, how that in great trial of affliction, the abundance of their joy and their deep poverty abounded unto the riches of their liberality. Now that seems to be a little bit hard to understand, but the passage is telling us that the apostle says that this has to do with the context of giving. Now, this is very interesting because if you'll hold your hand here and go over to 1 Corinthians chapter 16, you're going to see a passage of Scripture that tells us when the Apostle Paul was there previously, he mentions in chapter 16, verse 1, now concerning the collection for the saints. Now he says, I have given order to the churches of Galatia, even so do ye. Upon the first day of the week, let every one of you lay by him in store, as God hath prospered him, that there would be no gathering when I come. And when I come, whomsoever ye shall approve by your letters, them will I send, notice here, to bring your, here's that word again, liberality, unto Jerusalem. And if it be meet that I go also, they shall go with me. So the apostle said, okay, I'm going to take a collection. And this is, as we're going to see in a minute, this was at the initiative of the Corinthians, that they were going to give to the saints that were in Jerusalem. Now, if you know anything about the geography of the Bible, Paul, Corinth was in the area that is considered Greece today. And as a result of that, he was way over, speaking to them way over there, and then Jerusalem was over on the eastern side of the Mediterranean Sea. So when the Apostle Paul was going on his missionary journeys, he was trying to raise money. And they were supposed to do this on what day of the week? The first day of the week. Now, if you go back over to the book of Romans, chapter 15, we see the context of this. In Romans chapter 15, the scripture tells us in verse 26. Now, Paul was writing the book of Romans from Corinthians. From Corinth. And it tells us in verse chapter 15, verse 26, it hath pleased them of Macedonia. Now, does anybody know where Macedonia is? That's north of Greece. And that would be, there's two churches up there. There's the church of Thessalonica that we have in our Bible, and there's the church of Philippi. So, he is saying that it has pleased them of Macedonia, as well as Achaia, which is Corinth, to make a certain contribution for who? What does it say? For the poor saints which are at Jerusalem. It hath pleased them verily, and their debtors they are. Now you say, well, in what way are they debtors? Now, well, get this. The gospel was started from the standpoint of Jerusalem. What happened to Jesus? Jesus died on the cross. He was buried. He rose again. And he said, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. And so the Apostle Paul in Acts chapter 13, we're told, goes on a missionary journey. And he goes to Galatia and then he comes back home and then he goes back and he hits Corinth and he hits Macedonia. He went on three journeys. And the Bible tells us that they were given the gospel. Now, if you notice that in verse 27, it has pleased them because they're debtors. For if the Gentiles have been partakers of their spiritual things, their duty is also to minister unto them carnal things. So what was going on in Jerusalem and in Judea, there was apparently a famine of some type. There was persecution going on. And it's kind of like when you hear that those down in Haiti just got hit by a hurricane. Or maybe there was an earthquake down in Mexico. Or maybe there was a major flood that happened in Houston. And you ever notice how people are so willing to give to those projects? Well, Paul was telling them about the famine and the persecution going on in Judea, and maybe somebody in the Corinthian church said, hey, why don't we give to that? You're going back, Paul. We'll give you money. You go take that and help them. They've given us spiritual blessing. We want to be a physical blessing to them. And this was what was going on. Now, if you come back to 2 Corinthians, and I'm trying to help you to see the context of this. In 2 Corinthians, we're told that in verse 10, herein I give my advice, for this is expedient for you. And notice this in verse 10 of 2 Corinthians chapter 8, who have begun before not only to do, but also to be forward. And how long ago? Now, what does that mean? That means that maybe because of the friction that was going on in the church and the problems going on in Corinth, Paul was beginning to wonder, are they going to follow through on giving to the saints over in Jerusalem? If you look over to chapter 9, and notice in verse 2, for I know the forwardness of your mind. I know what you intended to do. For which I boast of you to them of Macedonia. So in other words, he went up to the church of Philippi, for instance, and said, hey, they down in Corinth are wanting to give to the ministry in Judea. And he gave them that testimony, how that Achaia, or Corinth, was ready a year ago, and your zeal hath provoked very many. Now, verse 3, yet I have sent the brethren, lest our boasting of you should be in vain. So he was a little afraid that they weren't going to follow up on their word. You know, if people make promises, they don't follow through. Oh yeah, this year I'm going to go on a diet! 3 weeks later, gave up on that. Well, that's a very serious thing when you all of a sudden You're saying, I'm going to make a vow to the Lord. I'm going to give to this ministry. And then you don't follow through. So Paul was a little concerned about that. In verse 4, less happily if they of Macedonia come with me and find you unprepared to give, we, that we say not ye, so in other words, I'm not going to just talk about you, I'd be ashamed. Now, this is the context of 2 Corinthians chapters 8 and 9. What was it that they did? They made a commitment. How long ago? A year ago. You know, sometimes people think that faith promise offerings is a gimmick. And it can be a gimmick, and we're not trying to make it a gimmick. But there is something that we see in the Bible that helps us to understand that there is a biblical basis to say, okay, there are missionary works. There are people that are needing the gospel, and there are people that need the Lord. And so, just like the Corinthians or like the Macedonians, we're going to give. Now, I would like you, Brother Dave and Chuck, if you could, to hand these out. And maybe I better get one myself. Because this explains a little bit about what we're doing as a church. Faith promise giving is a method. As I showed you in the PowerPoint presentation, that the method of faith promise giving was a much better method than saying, well, we as a church are going to give 10%. We multiplied our giving by letting people make a commitment. And basically, this is why this card that I gave you, if you look at that, believing that the Lord will continue to meet my needs, I promise to give Him so much per month for missions. This is above my regular tithes and offerings. Our purpose with Faith Promise Mission, that was one of my concerns. Sometimes people give toward missionaries, but they won't give to the church, and the church suffers while the missionaries are being supported. So we don't want it to interfere with that. I understand that this money will go to the expansion and enhancement of our missions program as directed by our church. Now, if you notice on the back side, there is no place for your name. Now, you can put your name on the front and put it in your Bible or in a safe place that you can remember what you had promised to give. But the second card, what we're going to do in just about 10, 15 minutes from now, we're going to pull this off, write this down, and we're going to turn it in and we're going to add it up. And we're going to just see how much money can we raise toward missions. Now, Paul said, do that on the first day of the week. And I think it's an interesting thing to understand the importance of what faith promise offering is. Now, I want you to look at this sheet, because most of you are reading it now anyway. The faith promise offering for missions is the amount you promise to give by faith above your tithes during the coming year to world evangelization program of your church. Number one, the faith promise offering is a biblical plan or a method of giving. Notice three things mentioned there. First of all, faith is surely biblical. Now, how many of you believe that the Bible says much about faith? Okay, sure. Without faith, it's impossible to please Him. And we're saved by faith. We live by faith. We walk by faith. And without faith, it's impossible to please God. And whatsoever is not of faith is sin. So what we find here, this is a good biblical way to express our faith. I was talking to my wife. I said, okay, how much are we going to give? I'm not going to tell you. But, you know, I said to her, how much do you want to give? And she said, well, you usually do it, you know, increase it every year. And I said, yeah, and I try to do that. Because just as faith grows, you hope that your mission giving would grow, and of course, depending on your financial situation. And so I said, you know, well, what do you think? And we both came to agreement on this. And I said, yeah, it's going to stretch us a little bit, but that's good for us to stretch our faith. Number two, promise. Faith promise. Now that has biblical support. You say, oh, I don't think we should make promises. Okay, quit buying cars, quit buying houses, you know, credit cards, you know, you made a promise, you're going to pay rent, you know. Now, really, people get real kind of sacrilegious spirituality about them when they talk about things of the Lord. You know, it's good to make a promise, but you better make sure you keep your promises. And if you notice here, he quotes Psalm 76:11, vow and pay unto the Lord your God. Let all that be round about him bring presents unto him that he ought to be feared. Promises are, or vows are very serious and are to be carefully performed according to Ecclesiastes. In other words, you don't want to tell God, God, I commit to you this, and then you don't do it. It's better to not make a promise than to make a promise and not keep that promise. So it is a right thing to do. And of course, we could go to the Old Testament and we could see how they gave of themselves, even when they were out in the wilderness. So offerings, small c. Or it says here, offerings are certainly biblical. Offerings were required under the law and are expected of believers in the age of grace. Israel was told that they had robbed God by not paying their tithes. In other words, don't give the missions if you're not tithing. You know, that would be backward. And so you look there, and of course, since in January, I usually try to emphasize biblical stewardship. Notice here, missions is the very heart of our faith promise offering. What is closer to the heart of God than missions? Do we realize that God was the first missionary? Do we realize that? God created this world. And he came and he spoke to Adam and Eve and he sent his only begotten son. Jesus was given to us so that we might have the gospel. Christ died for the whole world. It isn't his will that any should perish. I was going over this with our Sunday school this morning. They need to be told of Christ's provision of their salvation. They cannot hear without a preacher. The preachers must be sent. We, the local church, are the senders. Sending means more than praying. It means providing financial support. Not saying that praying is unimportant, but it's doing more than praying. It's giving as well. So the faith promise offering is over and above your tithes. And the faith promise offering is based upon faith. Now, that being said, I want you to see the context of 2 Corinthians chapters 8 and 9. I want you to see how Paul deals with this. I'm indebted to my Ryrie Study Bible because he gives a very good outline here. And in 2 Corinthians chapter 8, we see, for instance, the principles for giving. We see the purposes for giving. We see the policies in giving. And then the promises in giving. We don't have time to develop all of this, but I want you to see a couple things. So how did Paul encourage his people to give? Because we're very stingy by nature. He says in chapter 8, verse 1, it's a grace. It's called the grace of God bestowed on the churches. A grace is an enablement to give. In other words, it's God that gives to us so that we can give to him. We see, secondly, it can be exercised even during poverty. You say, well, I don't have much. Well, look what he says in verse 2, how that in great trial of affliction, the abundance of their joy and their deep poverty abounded unto the riches of their liberality. Talking about the churches in Macedonia. For to their power I bear record, and beyond their power they were willing of themselves. And it's interesting, he says, praying us with much entreaty that we would receive the gift. So in other words, Paul says, you know, giving doesn't have to be, I got to have a lot of money. No. How many have ever heard the widow's mite? How much did a widow have? She had two mites. And she gave, did she have two or one? I forget. She had two, okay. I said two because you said two. All right, so think about this. How much did she give? She gave 100% of that. I'm not saying wipe out your savings account, wipe out your checking account, but I'm saying that giving is a grace that God gives us, and you don't have to have a lot. You can be faithful in that. But you know, that happens when you first dedicate yourself first. Verse 5, this they did, not as we hope, but first gave of themselves. So in other words, before you can give of your substance, God wants your heart. God wants you to give yourself to Him. And these are some principles of giving. What are the purposes of giving? Verses 7 through 15. So that you would abound in every aspect of your Christian life. He says in verse 7, as you abound in everything, in faith, in utterance, in knowledge, in all diligence, do it in this as well. You'll see here that it proved the reality of their love. Look at verse 8, it says, I speak not by commandment, but by occasion of the forwardness of the others to prove the sincerity of your love. You know, if I love God, and if I love the gospel, and I love people, you know, I'm doing this not because somebody put pressure on me. I'm doing this because I love Jesus. Then we're told that it says that it imitates Jesus. Did Jesus give? Did Jesus give? Yes or no? All right, look at verse 9. That though he was rich, yet for your sakes became poor. That he, through his poverty, you might be rich. You and your poverty would be rich. And you know, when you give, he says, you prove your willingness. Now, we've got to bring this to a close. But he says that when you say, okay, I'm going to do this, okay, let's see how serious you are about it. You know, one of the things that we do with our missions budget, we have a conference in the fall. We have commitments that are brought in. But we don't take on new missionaries over commitments. We see what actually came in the last 2 or 3 months. Then we commit to missions. Well, you'll see in verses 16 through chapter 9, verse 5, you always want to be accountable to others. Look at chapter 9 and look at verse 6. It tells us, for this I say, he which soweth sparingly shall also reap sparingly. Verse 7, every man according as he purposeth in his heart, so let him give. Because what does God love? A cheerful giver. And verse 8, God is able to make all grace toward you abound, that ye always having all sufficiency in all things may abound to every good work. I got to bring this to a close, but you know what he's saying? God will take care of you. Now, I can promise you something, and I can say this with all authority of the Scripture. God will take care of you. And if you are faithful to Him, God will take care of you. You may not become rich, but He'll meet all your needs according to His riches and glory by Christ Jesus. So, this is why we do faith promise offerings. This is why we want you to pray about it. This is why I'd encourage your as parents to have your children be involved in faith promise giving. And if you hadn't had a chance to look it over, you know, pray about it. And we'll do our very best to be responsible with the finances that come in the area of world evangelism. Father, I pray that you would just work in our hearts even now. And Lord, I pray that as people consider what they can give toward missions, I pray that you would meet our needs. Help us, Lord, maybe even to be able to take on more missionaries than what we presently do. And we'll praise you for what you do. For Jesus' sake, amen. If you would do this for me, would you fill that out? And then if you would hand that to the ushers that will come, and we will add these up and we'll see what the Holy Spirit's going to do for us this morning in the area of missions. All right, as soon as you get that filled out, go ahead and turn that in if you're going to do that. All right, if the ushers will come. Of course, our goal is to come up with $2,600 a month to support the missionaries we have. As I mentioned, there's a missionary or two that's no longer going to be needing support, so we're going to do our very best with that. All right. I'll take that. Anybody else have one? Brother Tom's going to come. At this time, I'm going to have those getting baptized to go ahead and go and get ready for the baptism. Brother Tom is the whiz on the calculator. Whenever I'm doing my budget, I'm always having to keep hitting it over and over again because I just can't seem to get it right. You'd think you'd get it right two times in a row, but I don't always do that. But Tom gets it right 100% of the time, don't you? Okay, yes. He knows how to do that. All right. Okay, let's see how we did this morning. Okay, I just have no particular order here. This is from an adult for $50 a month. This is per month. $1 per month. This is $85 per month. And $20 per month. $180 per month. $100 a month. I'm just trying to figure out why every other one's like that. All right, $25 per month. How are we doing so far?
$461.
$500 per month. $300 per month. $2 per month from a child. Praise the Lord for that. $20 per month. And $220 per month, and $60 a month, $430 a month, $100 per month, and $80 per month. All right, where are we at?
$2,173.
All right, so we praise the Lord for your willingness to give toward missions, and I trust that you'll just follow the Holy Spirit. No one's going to check up on you because nobody knows, but God knows, right? And thank you for your giving to the area of missions. Well, I'm not too sure when they're going to be ready, so I suppose we should do a song, right? Brother Chuck, do you want to lead in the song? All right. Thank you, brother.
Let's turn to 538. I love to tell the story of unseen things above. It's amazing. You know, the day that you make that decision to follow the Lord, it's such a sweet time. It's such a sweet day. And you want to tell other people about it, and you want to recount that. And so today is a very special moment. We get to see that public declaration of that decision. And so as they are getting ready for that wonderful symbolism, let us remain seated as we turn to number 538. I love to tell the story.
Baptism, really what it shows, it's a public declaration to the church, to families, to other people, just saying, yes, I am saved, yes, I do want to follow the Lord. And it's very important to realize, because so many people misunderstand baptism. It's not a previous sealing saying this person is marked for salvation, where they're part of the covenant family or anything like that. The Bible teaches that salvation is a step we take after we're saved to really show to others, yes, I'm serious about this commitment. Yes, I do want to serve the Lord. And it's important that it happens after a person is saved. And so as these young men come, I'm going to ask them the questions and say, you know, was there a time in your life where you accepted the Lord as your Savior? Because that's so important. Baptism isn't what saves us. It's a picture of our salvation. And that's really what we see in the Bible and in the Scriptures. And I love the illustration. I've yet to hear of a better one, of a wedding ring. You know, if I take off my wedding ring, I'm still married. But what my wedding ring does show is it shows to all of you, all the people looking in, this is a married man. And it doesn't change the fact that I'm married or not, whether I have it on or off. But what it does show is it's a public declaration to other people saying that is a married man there. And really, that's what these people want to do today, is they want to publicly confess and say, yes, I am a follower of Jesus Christ. And just like Christ was, he died on the cross and he was buried. The Bible also talks about how we, in our salvation, we become dead to our sins. And we're now alive to walk in newness of life to Jesus Christ, just as he rose from the grave. And so it's such a privilege to be able to do this. And I hope that if there's anyone out there that maybe you are saved, but you haven't taken that step in believer's baptism, Jesus did say, go into all the world and make disciples and also baptize them. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
So we'll have Max come first, and then we'll have Nicholas as well. It's been great having Max in our church recently. And Max, is there a time in your life when you trusted the Lord as your Savior?
Yes.
And about when was that?
About when I was six.
Yeah, that's great. So you can go ahead and come stand in here. Well, based on Max's profession of faith, in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost, I now baptize you, buried in the likeness of the Son, raised in the likeness of the Son. likeness of his resurrection to all men. Amen. Then we'll have Nicholas here in just a moment. So the door still is not open for him quite yet. So I know when Adrian got baptized, she was worried about slipping. So we'll have to make sure that. I didn't say that out loud, Adrian, did I? I did. But she didn't slip, so it was just fine. So I remember being baptized as a child, and just the importance that it is to really recognize what it's all about. And I'm thankful for the crafts being careful with their children and really making sure, hey, that they are saved and that they do understand the commitment that it is to follow the Lord and to live for Him. And it's important for our children to realize that. A lot of parents quickly rush in and they're saved and the child gets baptized. And there's nothing wrong with that whatsoever. You read about people getting baptized right away. But it's so important for us to realize, you know, there is that importance to this to make sure we are saved, to make sure this truly is something we understand. So I'm thankful to be able to baptize children that do understand that and are wanting to follow the Lord. Amen. So we'll see if Nicholas is ready. This is Nicholas. Nicholas, was there a time in your life when you trusted the Lord as your Savior? Yes? Yeah? When was that?
May
4th. May 4th? Just this year, right? All right. That's great. Well, Nicholas, based on your profession of faith, I baptize you. I baptize you in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Buried in the likeness of his death, raised in the likeness of his resurrection, to walk in the name of the Lord.
What we have done as the Lord commanded, and yet there's room. And I would encourage you to not just talk to people about believing about Jesus, make sure that they have accepted Christ as their personal Savior, and then talk to them about the first step of obedience in the Christian life, it's baptism. So what a great opportunity it is. Appreciate Pastor Nathan doing that. I'm trying to help him to get a sense of what that's like, and this is the first time he'd ever baptized an adult, so that was good for him to do that. So let's go ahead and stand together, and let's sing one more stanza of that verse. I love to stand and tell the story, maybe the last verse. And do we have that? And what number is that? 538. All right, let's sing this together.
I love to tell the story.
Let's pray. Our Father, we are truly grateful for giving us this opportunity to meet here today. Thank you for these baptisms. I pray that you would just help them to serve you and guide and direct in their lives. And we pray that you'd bring us back this evening as we study the book of Ephesians, chapter 4, and for our announcement for our budget meeting. I pray that you would work in all that we do. For Jesus' sake, amen. God bless you. Thank you for coming. Thank you, Dave.